Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This verse and several verses in the vicinity of it proclaim the glories of poverty. This will not be a very popular religion. If we tell people, you come, you join our religion, you'll get wealthy, then it will be popular. If we tell, actually poverty is good, austerity is good, then they may classify you as a dangerous antisocial cult. And actually, if one is Krishna conscious, it doesn't make any difference whether one's poor or rich. Poverty in itself is not a good quality. Here is stated that, who is this piece? Is it Narad Muni? Yeah. Explaining why he cursed. Yeah. Our holy men will curse you. So he's explaining why he cursed. He's saying that a poor man automatically becomes free from all false ego. We don't always see that. We see that people, well, even Prabhupada quoted here, Daridrya dosho gunarashi nashi. Which shastra is that from? Is it from China? It means poverty destroys all good qualities. Anyone? It's from Kalidas. It's not from any shastra in particular. But we, just like we, actually Chanakya, it's all from shastra. It's a collection of quotes, but it's from a play of Kalidas. So poverty destroys all good qualities. Well, here it can be taken to mean any materialistic qualities in this sense. I saw that in Bangladesh in the late 1970s and 1980s. There was a lot of thieving going on. People were desperate. It was a desperate situation. Poverty stricken. It was famously called by some American big leader or something as a basket case, which means just you have a waste basket and you throw things in the waste basket. It's whatever you put in there, it's useless. You can't do it. Now the country is quite prosperous. I believe some figures came out last year that the average income is more than that of India. And we see people are very generous and they like to give donations and without even asking and this and that. So it can affect people's mentality and behavior, which is why it's being praised. We see also in Chaitanya Charitamrita, dinere adhik daya kari bhagavan kulin pandit dhanir baro abhiman. That Bhagavan is more merciful to the fallen and lowly, and stated that those who are aristocratic, very knowledgeable and wealthy, they're very egoistic. Stated to Sanatana Goswami, who had all these things, had this, but tyaktva turnama shesha mandala pati shraining sada tuchavat bhutva dina, again the word dina comes, bhutva dina ganesha ko karunaya kupina kanta shuto. He was from a background of wealth, prestige, power, highly learned. He gave it all up to deliberately live in poverty, thinking that this is a better situation for practicing Krishna consciousness. What is that? Gaur Bhagavan, he's not here now. He's in Bombay. What is that? Vairagya. Gaura Bhaktaya Vairagya Guna Pradhan. I don't remember. Does anyone know this? Chaitanya Bhaktaya Vairagya Pradhan Jaha Deki Pritahan Gaur Bhagavan. I don't remember it exactly, but it's stated that Vairagya, or non-attached, sometimes it's translated as renunciation, but a more accurate or precise translation is non-attachment, detachment. So Vairagya is the prominent quality of the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, seeing which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very satisfied to see that. Of course, Vairagya in and of itself is not much praised by the Vaishnavas. There is Shushka Vairagya. This word also comes in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Dry renunciation. Renunciation of everything material should be to accept that which is positive. Give up the negative, accept the positive. Just like the six Goswamis. They gave up all that prestige, wealth, everything. But Gopi Bhava Rasamritab Delahari Kalola Makuno Mahur. They were always swimming in the waves of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the highest level of Krishna consciousness, the feelings of the gopis for Krishna. So, consideration of what is wealth and what is poverty. Dhanmar Nityananda, Narottanda sings, my wealth is Nityananda. Kobe Krishna Dhan Pabo, he sings in another song. When shall I attain the wealth of Krishna? And as Srila Prabhupada notes in this purport, that many great kings previously, they gave up all their wealth, their pelf, their power, position, prestige, to live in a poverty-stricken condition for the sake of spiritual advancement. So generally speaking, it's considered a better position to be in, to be poor, than to be rich. Although it's not necessarily true. We have people, they may be very poor and be of demoniac mentality, and they may be very rich and be of saintly mentality. But generally speaking, it's expected that saintly people, they will be detached. Vairagya. A devotee can live amidst wealth and be detached and give everything to Krishna. Which is why I suspect people of a pious background, they like to offer donations from their hard-earned wealth to saintly people with the feeling that they themselves will be benefited by doing so. Generally, wealth is earned for sense gratification, and that's what is contaminating তোমার কনক ভোগে জনক, this Bhakti Sanskriti sings, that your gold is the father or the progenitor of material enjoyment. So that's the problem. When one has wealth, one tends to be inclined for sense enjoyment. We know that there are the four Kali sthans, the places of Kali, where Kali can reside, where there is animal slaughter, intoxication, gambling, and illicit sex. And they all reside in gold. Gold, we know from, at least we can understand from people who, some astrologers, they prescribe you, or even for health, it may be said, you wear some copper or some gold or different gems for different astrological reasons. And there's something about gold and precious things that tends to affect your consciousness. So it's very dangerous to have money. It's very dangerous not to have money. Actually, we're trying to set up communities on Srila Prabhupada's order where money is not a factor. There are still places in the world where people don't have money, they don't use money, they don't need money. Because if you grow your own food and build your house from local materials, and you don't need money. There may be things, there may be things in wealthy traditional societies. There will be, definitely there'll be jewels, gold, all these things. But a spirit of detachment and generosity is there. That wealthy people, they have nice clothes, new clothes. And then when there's some function, marriage function, or feeding the baby first time function, or so many different social functions are there, then they'll give the clothes away. They may not wear them very often. And they'll be considered very miserly if they don't. By social convention, you have to. So everyone has nice clothes. And wealthy people, they have wealth, but the tendency is to give it away. It's a culture of generosity, opposite to the culture of today of just trying to grab so much. Iramadya mayalabdam. Imam prapse. What's that? What is that? Imam prapse mano gatam. Iramastiram api me bhavishyati puna dhanam. The demon thinks, so much wealth do I have. I've made it all by myself. I'm going to get more. Plotting how to get more. So, wealth tends to instill a sense of greed, so that we see even people have plenty enough money. They could retire and live peacefully at the age of 30 or whatever. They make them, but they go on more money, and they're very busy. I heard one talk, I won't say the name, because he used to be doing investments for some of the very, very wealthy people, multi-billionaires. He used to be an investment banker. So he told me he was in a meeting with him once. He's a devotee, this devotee told me. He was in a meeting with him, and there was some point came up, and this devotee, who was an investment banker, said to this super rich guy, I'll get back to and I'll report to you tomorrow. I said, no, not tomorrow. It's Friday. Friday is the Muslim holiday. So Muslim. No, give me a break, at least on Friday. And then he thought, wow, this guy's super rich and he's in full of anxiety and tension. And that's when he decided, okay, it's time for me to quit my job. I've got enough money and retire, which he did. He just does full-time devotional service now. So money, money is all meant for Madhava. Madhava means the husband of the goddess of fortune. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He has all opulences. Aishvaryasya samagrasya viryasya yashasya shriha jnana vairagya yoschaiva shandang bhaga itingana. He has all opulence. All power, all fame, all beauty, all knowledge, and all renunciation. If anyone gets any of these qualities to a significant amount comparatively to others, they tend to become proud. If someone is wealthy, they tend to become proud. If someone is beautiful. Often these go together because by karma, Janmaishvarya Shuta Shri, generally you'll find people are born in wealthy aristocratic families. They're often good looking also and intelligent also. Often it all goes together. And the tendency is to become proud. If we have something a little more than others, so it can be a great mercy to be divest of that. Yasyahamanu Grithnaimi. Yudhishthira Maharaj asked Krishna after so much suffering. He had to lose so many things, see his wife insulted, and said, well, what's the symptom of your mercy upon your devotees? Yudhishthira asked, because generally people go to God, they're asking for something, dhanam dehi, yasham dehi, rupavati bharya dehi, give me this, give me that, give me money, give me reputation, give me a beautiful wife, or another beautiful wife. In Vedic culture, you are allowed to have more than one. So Yudhishthira, he might have been wondering that, well, what's the symptom of your mercy upon your devotee? Yasyaham anukrasnami harishe taddanang shanai. I take away my devotee's money. Gradually, the word is used. Then, what is the next line after that? And his relatives become. Tado danam tyajantyasya swajanari dukha dukita. Then all his relatives, they become not so friendly to him as they were before. Oh, we love you. You're so good. You're so nice. You lose everything and no one cares. You can see. If someone gets some money, then he becomes more popular. All of a sudden he has more friends. People treat you differently. If you lose money, then also the rich man no one cares for. There's Srila Prabhupada told the story of Michael Madhusudan Datta, who was a Bengali Christian poet. There was some man, he had inherited so much money and he spent it lavishly for giving parties. Anyone came, they asked for something, they needed someone, give them. And eventually he had nothing. And then one of his old acquaintances, because he lost all his acquaintances, he saw him walking in the rain at night in Calcutta. And he arranged, or at least having come from such a situation, he called a rickshaw. At least you should go by rickshaw, not that you should have to walk. And Michael Madhusudan Datta commented that you have the courage of an Englishman and the heart of a Bengali mother. Another is interesting. Generally, the poor men want to become rich, but Srila Prabhupada also told an anecdote about Chittaranjan Das, whose name is still well known. Do they teach you in this school? Do they mention his name in Indian history? In Tamil Nadu, they wouldn't, because they don't believe that anything good happens north of Chennai. In North India, does his name come in the history book, Chittaranjan Das? Probably in Bengal, at least. There's a whole township named after him. Is that in Bengal or Bihar? I think it's in Bengal, anyway. So, he was a very rich man. Actually, Prabhupada told more than one anecdote about it. I'll just tell this one. Well, they're both in connection. Very rich man, so he was sitting on the veranda of his house, looking morose. And then his wife said, "Well, what do you want? You've got name, position, fame, money." At that time, some sadhu went past, or bawal or whatever, there used to be so many, wandering the streets, singing some song. And it means no money. He said, "I want to be like him. No money, no cares, no anxiety." Another story Prabhupada told about him is that he was very rich. He made all his money from arguing legal cases. He was a lawyer. But then, because of Gandhi's non-cooperation movement, he stopped attending the courts. He couldn't, as a principal, he wouldn't cooperate with the British legal system. And then he gave lots of money, and he also lost his wealth. He gave lots of money to the Congress. I think it was just called Indian Congress at that time, was it? Sri Ram? Just called Indian Congress. Congress Party came later, was it? Yeah. Later it became the Congress Party. So there we have, the poor man wants to be rich, and the rich man may want to be poor. But the real thing is to be Krishna conscious. And see whatever happens as Krishna's mercy. If Krishna takes, you have money and Krishna takes it away, then take it as Krishna's mercy. If he gives much money, you have to take it as prasad, Krishna's mercy. If we don't, then that money will drag us to hell. If we don't engage money in Krishna's service, then it just takes us to hell. Of course, householders, they have to maintain their families. That's there. But the attempt should be to make the family Krishna conscious. Devotees should be of renounced mentality. Everything is for Krishna. Even the home, everything. Bhaktivinoda Thakur set the example. Everything is for Krishna. Otherwise, it's like money can be like an intoxication. We see among devotees also. Even it's Krishna's money comes to them, but they may become proud or reckless in spending Krishna's money. We could build so many temples with all the money that's been wasted in ISKCON. So that attitude that I'm overseeing this money, it's my money, that attitude comes. And Actually, at the present time, by the grace of Madhava, the husband of God, the goddess of fortune, ISKCON in India, in general, if we take it as an overall institution, there is a lot of money. It would be better seen how to distribute that for the overall mission, Prabhupada's mission. But it happens that individual leaders, they have custody over, sometimes over huge amounts of money. And you know, whenever I go to a temple and I see them breaking something and restructuring it, I know they've got too much money. Because generally that's whatever, they get lots of more money than they need and they start breaking down the temple and rebuilding it. Have you seen that? And some temples it's like permanent, they're something or other, they're always breaking something and rebuilding it. Take down a wall here, put up another wall there. That's one good thing about a stone temple. You're not going to start breaking it. Well, you never know. There may be someone crazy enough to come and break things. Okay, so that's it. That's all for now. I'll finish there. Any questions?
Two or three verses before, there is, I mean, of all the four, wealth and then education and beauty, specifically Narada Muni is pointing out that of all the three, wealth is, the pride that comes from wealth is more difficult to overcome. That is
the stress. Yeah, it's a general statement. Some of you may have seen and met Ambarish Prabhu, you definitely must have. He used to go down to Australia, didn't he? Yeah. Long time ago. Is it? She's a Bengali from Australia. I didn't know she was from Australia. Anyway, he's from very rich family, famous rich family, Ford family. But you'd never guess it by meeting him or talking to him. It's not that he's very proud that he comes from a very rich background. So maybe that it's very hard to overcome. Definitely, I don't know about now because I haven't lived in Britain for so many years. But Srila Prabhupada said the British are the most puffed up people in the world. And that's still probably going on because they had the empire. And even though most people in Britain, throughout the whole empire time, they were poverty-stricken, actually. The Industrial Revolution, which powered Britain ahead, that was done by exploitation of the working class. And during the early 19th century, after the Second World War, Britain was poor. Most people were very poor. But still, I hear that from, if you go to other countries in Europe, they say, oh, British people, they're all very proud. They have this feeling they're superior. Maybe because they used to rule the world or whatever. So that general tendency is there. America's now the most powerful country in the world. So we hear of American exceptionalism. It means they think they're exceptional. Well, they are at the present time, just like Greece was at one time. Can you imagine Greece being world power? Babylon, what's that? Iraq. Now they're occupied by American troops. They're very kindly keeping the peace in Iraq. And oil also, secondary consideration. They're very anxious to keep the peace in Iraq. So the idea, we're an exceptional people. Everyone thinks the Romans, everyone heard of the Carthaginians? There used to be a massive empire from Carthage in North Africa. And it goes on and on and on. So many great civilizations have come and gone. So, yeah, wealth, the pride of wealth. Well, in dharmic cultures, and actually in many cultures all over the world, that is a social necessity. You just have to do it. It's your duty to do it. You're brought up. That's the way the society works. People don't get paid. In the village, the barber will come to your house once a month or twice a month and trim your beard and hair and cut your nails. You won't take any money. You saw that, right? Even in your childhood. Krishnadas is from a barber's family. He never paid them anything. You just come, do the work and go away. That's all. But they get given at the time of harvest, they get given some significant amount of rice, enough to feed the family all the year. And then they attend weddings and they get given gifts like that. And they have a little land, grow some vegetables and this and that. Maybe keep a pig or chickens, a few chickens, like that. They go on, their material needs are taken care of. And it's understood that by my karma, I'm born in a barber's family. And by his karma, he's born in a merchant's family, so he's more wealthy. And then there should be no envy. And you have to do your dharma properly. Otherwise it's sinful. And if you do it properly, you become elevated in the next life. That's the understanding. But these rascals, they say that it's all exploitive society. Every society is exploitive. Unless there is this sense of dharma. Ah, so you were going to say?
It's not the case in the West where the rich, they become more degraded by their wealth.
Oh, definitely. Everywhere people become degraded by wealth.
Seems that the richer you are, the more degraded you are now.
Well, there's plenty of opportunity for even ordinary people to be very degraded. The average person in the Western countries breaks all the four regulated principles every day, all day, if they can. We think of the West and the sexual degradation, but even the mass meat eating, it's extremely sinful. Yeah, it's a degraded situation. It's a war against Maya. We may think, why should I bother with this war against Maya? I'll just sit and chant Hare Krishna, but we may not fight, but Maya's attacking us all the time. So in a war, one or the other side wins. If we don't fight against Maya, then Maya's going to conquer us and everything. If we don't have the spirit in the Krishna consciousness movement of fighting Maya, then Maya will overcome us. She'll win. We'll go to hell.
One of the richest men in the world is Murdoch. Have you heard of Murdoch?
Rupert Murdoch from Australia. Big deep. You can. Yeah. Controls the media and deliberately makes everyone degraded.
He just retired last year at 91, and now he's 92, and he just got engaged to be married again.
What's he going to do? Put some monkey's glands on him? Or what? Anyway, Hare Krishna. Yeah, so many demons. Distribute books. I'm always amazed how Indian people aren't worse than they are. Still the culture's going on, despite everything. It's much worse than it was when I first came to India 47 years ago. But it's amazing how much is still there. Still a very definite difference between the West and India. Very hard to break the culture, yeah, but it's being broken. Culture is maintained by women. Strishu Dushtarshu Varshtaya Jayate Varna Sankara. That's breaking down. Women don't want to. Anyway, that's a whole big topic. But once that's broken, then everything's broken. So the demons, they know to attack on this point. One disciple of mine told me, he gave an English class in Mayapur, ISKCON Mayapur. So he gave a class not talking about any social issues, nothing, and it was appreciated. He said they gave him a round of applause afterward. And then one Western lady put her hand up and said, well, you didn't speak about this and this and this and that, and pointed out that it was basically a feminist protest. They said, yes, yes, yes. He didn't contest. And yeah, he told me, as I already knew, because he's teaching in this these courses they do, Bhakti Shastra courses, all this kind of thing. And they're specifically told, you don't, when Prabhupada speaks things which are considered against women, you don't speak on it. So they've won the battle within ISKCON against Prabhupada's teachings. They don't speak on it. That means by not speaking on it, indirectly they're saying that either Prabhupada is wrong or we don't want to believe it. They'll go through line by line, but they don't want to touch that. It's very serious. They don't want to present what Prabhupada presents. Okay, difficult to understand. In the context of modern society, women are less intelligent. And how do you understand it? Then you refer, because just like with the body comes a certain kind of mentality. So the tendency is there. Stree, who expands, griha kshetra sutapta vitaha. The tendency is to expand materially. That's very strong. Comes with the woman's body. Therefore, spiritually considered like that. And maybe, anyway, it's a big topic which I won't get into now. But the war is going on from within. And the enemy is winning. The great Achilles heel of all the anti-Prabhupada's movements within ISKCON is Srila Prabhupada himself, who lives forever in his books. You may not want to discuss it, but it's in the book. You can write books about how Prabhupada was wrong and get it endorsed by GBC members who have no action taken against them for doing so. But the books are there. Hare Krishna, all glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.